our God was indeed alive. He wasn't a piece of stone carved by man. He wasn't wood carved and painted and all fixed up by man. He was the true and the living God. They would sacrifice to their stone idols, and they would put fruit and vegetables and food and all kinds of things, throw money. Sometimes they would human sacrifice to their stone idols and pray and shriek. And guess what? The stone idol never talked back, never said one thing, never gave them any hope, never gave them one little word like, I love you. You're doing a great job. You're going to make it. No, they made these carved images and they bowed down and worshiped them, but they never one time ever spoke back and told the people that worshiped them one thing. But we're Christians and we believe the Old Testament and the New Testament. We believe that God speaks to his people. Now, if you don't believe that God speaks to his people, then how do we have this? Like we said last week, this did not come down from heaven, printed and bound. It came down from heaven by men of old drawing it up out of their spirits. God's spirit spoke to their spirit, and they wrote down. It talks about holy men of old were moved by the Spirit of God, and they wrote these things down. Everybody believe in this room that God will talk to people? Are you sure? Because last week I gave you a testimony. Oh, the ushers are almost in the aisle. They are in the aisles. If you would like to follow along tonight with the Bible, we have the Samoan flavor, and then we have the English flavor. The Samoan flavor is strawberry, and it looks like the English flavor is vanilla and chocolate. Thank you, Lord, that we've got all different helps. Or you can follow along on the screen. Now, what was I saying? You believe that God speaks to people today? Are you sure? Because last week I told you the story of how really one of the major keys and why I came back to Samoa is because I heard the Lord speak to my spirit. And he told me that I was called here. I'll just tell you this story super quick for those of you that weren't here. But I was getting ready to go to probably one of the biggest meetings ever in the United States, a big camp meeting there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I had my dress laid out. I had my shoes ready. I was going to win the prize. And about midway through the afternoon, I sensed in my heart, don't go. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it just seemed like I shouldn't go, which I wanted to go. I really, really, really wanted to go. And that witness, if you will, that sense on the inside, just it was consistent. And so finally I told everybody, well, I'm just going to stay home. And I did, and they went on. And as I was there at the house all by myself, I began to worship the Lord. And I said, Lord, why did you have me stay home? I'm missing probably the best meeting in all the universe. Because Brother Hagin was going to prophesy out to a certain date. And it was a lot of years. And I just sat there and I began to worship the Lord. More than anything, it's you I long for. Sang to him. And as I was singing, the presence of the Lord came into the room. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I have called you to the South Pacific. I said, yes, Lord. Me and Kel. And he just said it again. He never said anything negative. He just said, I've called you to the South Pacific in addition as well. There's a call on your life too. I said, yeah, yep. Me and Kel, I've called you to the South Pacific. Yep, that's the truth. Five times he said, I have called you to the South Pacific. And that was it. That was it. And then fast forward about 8 years, I'm standing in the emergency room, and I've just been told that Brother Dunnick has gone on over to be in heaven. And they brought me into the operating room or the emergency room where they tried to resuscitate him for about 30 minutes. And he's laying there on the table. They had it all wrapped up in towels and blankets, but his mouth was hanging open. So I rushed over. Sorry, that's hard to hear. I immediately rushed over and I put my hands on his head. And I looked inside. What do you mean you looked inside? I looked inside my heart. I said, Lord, what should I do? I didn't say it out loud. But as I'm standing there holding my husband's head in my hands, I said, Lord, what should I do? He said, I have called you to the South Pacific. And truly, if I hadn't have heard those words from the Lord 8 years before, five times, and been sure of it, I don't know that I would have been convinced. Maybe I would think, I'm crazy. I'm pile of up. You know, the stress of this and the pain of this, I can't see clearly right now. But a lot of times I'll tell people, really, I'll start where I'm jumping kind of ahead into the message, but I hope this connects it well for you. A lot of times I'll talk to people in the States or even here, and they'll say, how did you know that you were called to be a missionary? Oh, boy. I'm going to have to tell them that God talks to me on the inside. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I don't know if I want to go there. I don't know if I want to say it that way, what we've been talking about. His spirit reveals things to our spirit. But that's how did you know that you were called to the South Pacific? The Lord's spirit spoke to my spirit crystal clear and revealed that to me. Now, how many of you know if I say that to a person, especially if they're not a Christian, or there's so many Christians all over the world today that they do not believe in the intermediate agency of the Holy Spirit speaking to my spirit, they don't believe that God will talk to you. That is one of the most difficult things to explain to a person. And so we want to go further tonight, how to know the Holy Spirit, because he's going to talk, and he is talking. And he's been talking to you. But how do you describe that? How do you tell someone that's never had that happen in their life? How do you tell someone that without them backing away slowly? Do you know, I had lunch with one of Anna's friends once at school, and I began to tell her about how the Lord led us here and helped me to decide to put the kids in this particular school. Do you know what happened? She never called me again. She never called me again to go to lunch. And you know, when you come to pick up the kids from school and you're like, hi, and they're like, crazy. I'm not crazy. If I'm crazy, then Moses must have been crazy. Joshua must have been crazy. David must have been a complete lunatic. All the prophets, they heard God speak to them all the time. So God's talking to you. He has been talking. And if you've been listening on the right channel, the channel of your heart, then you would be able to perceive him or sense him or know what he's trying to tell you. But if you're looking for external audible voice, if you're looking for intellect or emotions or feelings, you will be disappointed. Because the way we know God in this covenant is from the inside. Last week we talked about the kingdom of God is within you. The scribes and the Pharisees said, Jesus, when's the kingdom of God coming? He said, you're not going to see it physically. You're not going to be able to say, look, there it is. Look, it's coming right now. The kingdom of God is within you. So let's start in Romans 8:14, classic scriptures on the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us. And we're talking about this over and over and over again. It's a series because 10 weeks ago when we talked about this for the first time, some of you had the biggest eyes. Some of you first years. And I said, you okay? And some of you are like, You said yes, but you shook no. So let's keep getting this into your heart so that it's familiar to you. Sometimes things might be different because you've never heard it before, but check your heart. Check your heart. Romans 8:14, this is from the Weiss translation. It says, for as many as are being constantly led by God's Spirit, these are the sons of God. What do you mean, constantly led? Constantly led. It's an ever-flowing stream. Abiding in the vine, I in you and you in me, and together we bear much fruit. Constantly being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery, again with resulting fear, but you receive the Spirit who places you as adult sons, by whom we cry out with deep emotion, Abba, namely Father. The Spirit himself is constant, there's that word again, constantly bearing joint testimony with our brains and our bodies that we are God's children. Does it say that he bears witness with my physical body? Does it say that he bears witness with my intellect and my mentality and my mind? No. It says he bears witness with our human spirit. So his spirit bears witness with my spirit. That's how he lets me know things. You know, God is spirit. In John's gospel, Jesus, the woman at the well, he said, God is spirit. We add a spirit, but it just says in the original, he is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're learning spiritual things. His spirit will bear witness with my spirit. That's how he lets me know things. I'm not hearing audible voices. I'm not going by hot or cold flashes, if you will. Oh, I had a hot flash. That must be the Holy Spirit. No, that was just you. We don't go by reasoning. We don't go by emotions. We don't go by monge, goosebumps. See, every time I speak Samoan, you encourage me so much. So his spirit bears witness with my spirit. Are you okay with that now? Are you not like, what do you mean? His spirit inside your human spirit will talk to you. And when he does, there's no fear. Some people say, I don't want to hear voices, Pastor. I don't either. I don't want to be a weirdo either. But I can't deny that Moses heard the voice of God in his spirit. And Joshua heard the voice of God, and David heard the voice of God, and Jesus, he was epic in hearing the voice of his Father. He said, I only do what I see and I hear. He was hearing and seeing things from God's Spirit to his Spirit all the time. All the time. It should be normal for us. So if this is the case, and it's true what the Bible says, that God's Spirit will speak to my spirit, then I need to know what my spirit is. And I need to learn to pay attention to my spirit, that part of me. Focus on that. Be aware of the spirit part of me. Because that's the part of me that God's going to communicate to and through. I need to learn how to hear from him with my own human spirit. Ephesians 1:17. And we've got this cluster of Bible verses that we're going to go through, and we've gone through them every week. But basically, just putting these Bible verses together, we're seeing that there's a pattern for how these men in the Old Testament, and even coming over into the New Testament, there was a pattern on how they won battles. They prayed, God answered, they heard it. They believed it. They did what God said on the inside to them. And then the Lord caused them to more than conquer. I'm seeing that over and over and over and over and over again. How did that go again? God talked to them. He did? Yeah, and you know what? They heard it. They were able to receive from God's spirit in their spirit, and then know it was him, believe it, step out on it, and miracle of miracles. That's how all these battles were won, prayers were answered, miracles happened, walls fell into the ground. It was God speaking to them, them hearing it, them obeying it. So let's start with Ephesians 1:17. This is Paul's prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, you're going to think I'm weird, but I'm going to talk to you a lot tonight about the Lord speaking to me. Just about an hour ago, the Lord said, did you notice the prayer that Paul prayed? He wasn't praying for me to talk to you and to tell you things and to answer your prayers. God, please talk to us. God, please show us what to do. God, please help us. No, the prayer wasn't for God to speak or to answer. The prayer was for us to be able to hear and to see and to know and to understand what he's trying to reveal to us. And the next Ephesians prayer is the same. It wasn't praying that, God, if you just only knew the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of my problems, and if you would just tell me what to do, and if you could just show me that you love me. The prayers aren't for God to answer. The prayers are for us to hear him when he answers. The prayers are for us to see and understand and know what he's saying when he is saying it. We don't pray for God. God doesn't need our prayers. We pray that our eyes would be opened, that our ears would hear, that we would see what he's saying, because God is speaking. I don't know about you, but if my daughter, my little daughter, she's a big daughter now, but not that big. If she was just a little kid and she ran out into the street and I was watching this and one of the big buses came by, me as a mom, I would start screaming, get out of the road, get out of the road. Oh, well, whatever, you know. I wouldn't stand silent and just go, Well, Pastor John's been singing songs tonight. He debuted with two. Would you be silent if your child was in danger? Remember that? Would you give your son a snake if he asked you for, like, bread or Ovi Masima or whatever we ask for here? No. What makes you think God wouldn't scream if you were about to be hit by a bus? Oh, no, God doesn't care. No. God will scream when you're about to be hit by the bus. But are you able to hear him when he's screaming, "You're about to be hit by a bus. Move over a little bit to the left." So I noticed that the prayers are not for God that he would speak to us, that he would answer us. The prayers are that we would see and hear him when he is speaking. And he is speaking. The sower sows the word. Jesus said, when the Comforter comes, he will guide you into all truth. We have a whole class here called the Comforter, the Holy Spirit class. And that word in the Greek is parakletos. And it means a comforter, a counselor, a helper, a teacher, a standby, an advocate, an intercessor. Am I forgetting? A strengthener. Pastor Jenny and I tag team teach it sometimes. And I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit is all that on the inside of me? He's a comforter. He's a counselor. They usually do a lot of talking. He's a teacher. They talk a lot too. He's an advocate. That's a lawyer. They talk all the time. He's a strengthener. You can do it. He's a standby. I'm with you all the way. What good is a comforter that you never hear one word from? No, the problem isn't that our comforter is not speaking. The problem is our spirits are not receiving at the level that we could be receiving at because we're not paying attention to the things of the Spirit. Jesus said, when the Comforter comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will take of mine and show it to you. I would like to see some stuff from God, would you? Well, that's awesome because that's exactly what he does. He takes things from God and he shows it to you. Even Paul said, and he wrote, by the Holy Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. We have the mind of Christ. God's Spirit reveals things to our spirit. There's hidden wisdom. There's an outward man. There's an inward man. All of these men, Jesus, Paul, John, Peter, there's a major theme in the Word of God that God will speak to you by his Spirit. And you should be able to hear him. John said this, in his epistles, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Really? Yet, that same unction, this theme is all talking about the same thing. God will talk to you. He'll show you things that you don't know. Peter talked about the hidden man of the heart. So we're going to go through our cluster of scripture here, and this is review, but then I hope we can blast off and get about this much further down the road. I believe that repeated revelation in your life will bring results. You'll hear it again and again and again, and it will become familiar to you. Your heart will open up to it. You'll get more comfortable. You'll start to look at scripture, and pretty soon you just sense something in your heart. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, I've been reading this verse for all these years, and I like, yes, that's awesome. But really, I had no idea what that meant. What do you mean, whatsoever is born of God? Well, the Lord helping us to teach, he said, when I told Moses to hold his rod out over the water, that was a born of God instruction. That was a born of God 911 victory instruction. When I told Joshua to march around the city, that was a born of God plan. When I told David to go up at once and recover all, that was a born of God plan, not a born of man. Not what should we do? Huddle. Let's decide with our intellects what to do. No, whatever is born of God. What do you mean born of God? Whatever God tells you to do on the inside, do it. This is the victory process that overcomes the world. This is how they won all their battles. They had faith in the born of God victory instructions that they were receiving. Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? No. Distress?" You can answer these. This is a pop quiz. "Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? No. Peril? Sword? No. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So he has a part to play in us winning our battles. More than conquering. That means to overwhelmingly conquer, to go beyond conquering. And as we've looked week after week, did Moses more than conquer the Egyptian army? Did Joshua more than conquer Jericho? And the next battle was Ai. Did he more than conquer them? Yes, he did. Did he more than conquer the five armies that came up against him when he made the covenant with Gibeon? Yes, he did. More than conquered, more than conquered. Did David more than conquer the people that stole his wives and children, everybody's at Ziklag, more than conquered. They got more stuff back than they had. Yes. Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Yes. We quote that scripture and we're like, yes. Have no idea what it means. It sounds good, doesn't it? But what is it really saying? It's saying not by you trying to figure it out and not by you being strong enough physically to overcome without any assistance from God. That's not how we win our battles. It's by his Spirit. What do you mean by his Spirit? I'll tell you one more time. It's by his Spirit telling your spirit what to do and you hearing it and you believing it and you stepping out on it and the Holy Spirit working a great victory in your life. This is the victory process that I see over and over and over again in this written word. Why is it recorded? This person won, this person won. Well, God said that this is for every generation, that he's faithful to all generations. The same way he showed Moses how to win when he was alive on earth is the same way he's going to show us how to win while we're alive on earth. The same way he showed Joshua how to win battle after battle after battle after battle is the same way he's going to show us how to win. Family fight after family fight after battle after battle after battle after battle. Same way he showed David how to win battle after battle after battle after battle is the same way he's going to show us how to win. Same process. 2 Corinthians 2:14. We're closing our review here. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." I like it from the GLT. It says, "But thanks be to God, who is always leading us in triumph in Christ." So last week we took a lot of time. We went through 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through about 14. This passage, just to go through quickly, it talks about hidden wisdom. And Paul prefaces this saying, we can speak to spiritual people about this hidden wisdom. But if you're not spiritual, you have no idea what we're talking about. Eye has not seen, talking about physical eyes, and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man through intellectual study, sitting in a classroom, what God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, don't forget this verse. A lot of people stop right here. See, you can never know God. You can never understand him. He's so mysterious. The Lord works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't. He's miraculous. He's magnificent. But there's one thing that God does not want to be in your life. Mysterious. He's so mysterious. I never know if it's him or not. He's so mysterious. I can never find him or see him. God does not want to be mysterious. Is a candle brought to be hidden under a bushel? Is a candle brought to be hidden under a couch? No, it's to be put on the lampstand of your life. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, enlightening or searching all the inward parts of your belly. So, verse 10, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by his spirit. Reveal what? What eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what is not entered into our heart intellectually. God reveals things to us by his spirit. For to us, God the Father revealed them through the intermediate agency of his spirit. This is the Weiss translation for you smart people out there. For to us, God the Father revealed them through the intermediate agency of his spirit. For the Spirit is constantly exploring all things, even the deep things of God, and revealing that information to us. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know nothing, nothing at all, that we never know God, that we can't comprehend him. But a lot of us act like this is what the Bible says. You can't know God. You can't fathom him. You can't get answers from God. It just, whatever happens, happens. And then that was automatically him. No, no, no. There's a lot of things that happen down here on earth that are not the will of God. Do you know what I say to people who believe that everything that happens on earth is the perfect will of God? My response is, how come it's not like heaven then? Because if God was in control down here, and everything that happened on earth was his perfect will, I think it would be a lot like heaven, don't you? Because that's where he is in total control. His perfect will is enforced. There's no one defying him. There's no one blaspheming him. There's no one coming against him. No, if God was in control of the world, it would be exactly like heaven. And we can know this about God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, this is going to finish it. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That lady I had lunch with, she rejected my testimony. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. From the Weiss translations, it says they are discerned in the spirit realm. So, spiritually discerned. I'm going to go back to what we started with. Number one question. What's the number one question you get as a person, Pastor? The number one question I get as a person, everyone, thank you for the question. Thank you for the question. How did you wind up in Samoa as a missionary? And how did you know that you were called to the ministry? And how did you know to go to Samoa? Well, here we go. Do you know that when I'm on a plane sitting next to someone for the, how long is it to hear from California? It's like 300 hours. Hello. What do you do for a living? Don't say it. Not gonna say it. I'm a teacher. What do you teach? Don't say it. I teach people how to be led by the Holy Spirit. No, I totally avoid the questions. I teach what age level do you teach? I'm like, come on. You know, getting those big headphones, those are the I don't want to talk to you headphones. The number one question that I get is, how did you know that you were called by God? It was discerned spiritually. I knew it in my heart. And it was there every day when I woke up. You can't describe this to someone who is especially not born again. There's no way, because it is complete foolishness to them. They have no idea what you're talking about. Do you know when you get something in your heart? No, I never. What do you mean, get something in your heart? Their heart is dead. So the what did he say in Samoan? How did you know to go to Samoa? You know, the Lord, and this is how I'll answer, to just try to get out of trying to teach how to be led by the Holy Spirit on the plane to someone that's not even born again. I'm a horrible pastor. I say, well, I just knew it on the inside. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, His Spirit bore witness with my spirit. That's even worse. You're wrecking it. You know, it just seemed good to go to Samoa. Well, many of you know the story that Brother Dunnick was in prayer and praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, and the Lord spoke to him and said, Samoa me tapu, on the inside. He heard that on the inside. And he sat back in his chair, and the Lord downloaded this whole vision into his heart and said, raise a standard in the Word of God in the South Pacific. That's happening in our lives. But for people that don't have that happening at all, it's very difficult to explain that. Very, very difficult to explain that when you got 1 second, when you're on a plane and you don't really want to talk. These things are spiritually discerned. The closest I've gotten, and the best, simplest example that the Lord has given me recently, when I say recently, I mean this year. If you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, I've never heard the Lord speak to me in my spirit. I've never heard or done anything like what you're talking about. And I say, are you all Christians in here? You've all accepted Jesus as your Lord? Everybody? Have you ever sensed not to do something on the inside? Have you, everybody got that going on? The law of the Spirit of life on the inside in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Every time I go to sin, my heart will stop me from the inside. It's called a conscience. your conscience is alive and working now. And every time you go to sin, your heart will say, no, don't do it. Maybe not in English, maybe not in... Does everyone have this happening? Let me see your hands. Just checking. Okay, my dad put his hand up. Praise the Lord. Mom, is this working in your life? Dad's got both hands up. Praise the Lord. I've never heard anything in my spirit. Yeah, you have. I believe you're hearing more than you realize, but you're just not paying attention to it when you do hear it. So we want to turn the volume up on those no's. Don't do that. I heard that. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Instead of, don't do that. I'm doing it. So here we are. Number one question. How did you get to be a missionary? Well, it was spiritually discerned. It would be the same as asking Jesus, Jesus, how did you know to go to the Pool of Bethesda? And how did you know which guy it was that you were supposed to say, pick up your bed and walk? Will you be healed today? How did you know to make mud with some spit? How did you know to do that? Why did you do that? How did you know that there would be a man with a pitcher of water coming through, passing the gate of the town at the exact same time the disciples would be going in? How did you know there would be a man with a pitcher of water there? How did you know that Peter, if he caught a fish, how did you know that there would be gold in that fish's mouth? How did you know to wait 2 days when they told you Lazarus was sick? How did you know what the Pharisees were thinking when you said, man, your sins are forgiven? How did you know that? How did you know that? It's the same answer. God's Spirit revealed things to His Spirit. He had a spirit of revelation. He had a spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of God. How did you know? How did you? This is how we know. The same with Peter. Peter, how did you know Ananias was a liar, liar, pants on fire when he came with his offering? How did you know? Because he didn't tell on himself. Is this the price for the land? Yes, it's the full price of the land. How did you know he was lying? How did you know when the three Gentile men knocked on your gate to go with them? Because Jews don't have anything to do with Gentiles. How did you know? Because the Spirit of the Lord said, there's three men that are seeking you. Go down at once. Go with them. Nothing doubting. God's Spirit spoke to Peter's spirit. Ananias, woo! Ananias, the other good guy. This guy's still alive. How did you know to go to the street called Straight and inquire at Judas's house? How did you know that this was the house? How did you know which street to go on? These are the same questions. I mean, it's the same answer. How did you know that you were called to be a missionary? How did you know to go to Samoa? How did you know to get the ship here? It's the same answer that Ananias would give, that Jesus would give, that Peter would give. The Lord told me in a dream to go to the street called Straight and to go to Judas's house and inquire there for one Saul of Tarsus who's praying. Philip, how did you know to go south into the desert? And how did you just happen to meet that Ethiopian eunuch? It's like a miracle. Yeah. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How did you know to join yourself to that chariot? How did you know to go to Samoa? Same answer. The Lord spoke to me, and I heard it on the inside. Paul, how did you know the impotent man had faith to be healed? He was there preaching at Lystra, and there was an impotent man, cripple man, in the audience. And seeing that he had faith to be healed, how do you see that someone has faith to be healed? You can only see that from the inside, because you can't see faith on the outside unless you write, I have faith. Pick me. How did you know that the impotent man had faith to be healed? How did you stay in Corinth after your horrible missionary journeys? How could you stay? Well, the Spirit of the Lord, the angel, appeared to me and said, Paul, I have much people in this city. Don't be afraid to preach. And so Paul was strengthened by the comforter, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. How did you know that no one would die in the shipwreck, but that the ship would be lost? I'm telling you, is it okay if we look at these stories this way? Because people ask me all the time, how did you know to start a school in Samoa? How did you know to go to Samoa? How did you know you were a missionary? How did you know what to do after your husband died? How did you know? How do you make your decisions? My mind is set on my spirit. I'm always watching that part of me. It's more set on my spirit than it is on the things of the physical realm. How did you know that no one would die? How did you know that the ship would be lost? How did you know all these things, Paul? That's a good question. Get my copy of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, between verses 9 and 16. The Lord appeared to me. I had a spiritual experience, and he told me that no one would die, but that the ship would be lost. That's how I know. How did Moses know? Let's go back to old Moses. How did you know to hold your rod out over the water? This is Paddy Akui with 1010 News. Moses, how did you know to hold your rod out over the water? Well, I'll thank you for the question. I'll tell you how I knew. Then this might sound strange to you. Hold on now. God told me in my spirit. What? You're a weirdo. I never want to talk to you again. Joshua, how did you know? I mean, how did you know to march around the city? This is the question we have. How did you know to do this? God's spirit spoke to my spirit. Why am I yelling? I don't know. David, how did you know to chase after these guys? Put the big earphones on. I don't really want to talk to you. God's spirit spoke to my spirit. Well, the answer is a spiritual explanation that if you're not a spiritual person, you won't understand spiritual operation. You're not going to understand spirit revealed truths with spirit taught words. I spiritually discerned it. I knew it on the inside. The sower sows the word. The sower sowed the word. And I wasn't the hard ground. I wasn't the rocky ground. I wasn't the weedy ground. I was the good ground. And I heard it. Hi, guys. And I believed it, and I did it. And I got a harvest. The way we treat God when he speaks to us will determine all the harvests we'll ever get on this planet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Moses was good ground for what God said, don't you think? He's pretty good, not too shabby. Remember the bush that burned? Moses went, he looked at it. And then he came over to look at it closer. And it was only when he moved to look at it that the Lord spoke to him. I think the Lord would have just let him walk on by. But he came and looked at it, and that's when the Lord spoke to him. Moses, how did you know to go to Egypt and get a meeting with Pharaoh and demand that he let your people go? That's crazy. How did you know? Well, I was walking out in the desert, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me through a shrubbery. And he said, I've heard my people's cries in Egypt, and I have come down to deliver them. Now you go. How'd you know to go to Samoa? Same thing, except there was no burning bush. Do you know, Moses got good at listening for God's voice and hearing God to that place where we're at the Red Sea. And they're about, from the visual, the physical realm, it looks like we're going to die. But Moses has all this history with God. And he's scanning back through the burning bush. And the general promise of God was, I've heard my people cry in the wilderness, and I've come down to rescue them. Well, that means we're not going to die now, because he wouldn't go through all that trouble to get us out of Egypt to have us die here. The general promise of God from before is still going around in Moses' heart. But now he needs a specific instruction in line with the general promise. Lord, what do I do? Hold your rod out over the water. So, Moses, how did you know to hold your rod out over the water? Well, it was a born of God instruction. And I believed it and I did it. And we more than conquered. God is trying to get through to you at this level. There's battles that you're losing right now that you could be winning if you paid more attention to the Spirit of God in your own human spirit. Romans 8:5, goodness, we're just getting to the juicy part. Can you come back next week? Well, we're not going to finish tonight, but I'm just going to go maybe another 5 minutes. Can you guys go another 5 minutes? All right. We'll set you up for where you should set your mind. Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh. Now, we just read Romans 8:14, 15, 16. As many as are led, constantly led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're backing up just a little bit in the same chapter. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. We don't want that. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice how this passage, the Lord is talking about the mind. Now, your mind is not your spirit, and your mind is not your body. But notice how it talks about your mind quite a bit. Those that are after the flesh, their mind looks at the flesh all the time. This is the flesh over here. Those that are after the spirit, their minds look at the spirit. To look this way all the time is death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what is it about your mind? Your mind connects the flesh, your body, and your spirit. It's the bridge between the two different ways. Your mind connects the two and bridges between flesh and spirit. So with my flesh, you understand, we contact or we're aware of the physical and the material realm. We're able to connect to physical things or the material things on this planet. Everybody know that about your body? With my body, I contact the physical realm. I'm just trying to use some different words. I'm aware of it. I connect with it. I contact it. But with my spirit, I'm aware of and I connect to the things of the spirit. We're able to be aware of spiritual things with my spirit. Flesh is temporary, right? But spirit is eternal. The spirit realm has always been there, and it existed before the physical realm. That's why we want to look more at the Spirit than we do at the flesh. So here in this just two verses, let me read them again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They're connected more to the physical than they are to the spiritual. But they that are after the Spirit, they pay more attention to the inside than they do to what's happening on the outside. When Moses was backed up against the Red Sea, he could have paid attention to the army, to the 3 million people screaming, but he went inside. He's connected inside. The Holy Spirit is pointing out here, sorry, let me read it again. But they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. They pay attention to the inside. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what this passage is pointing out is the focus of your mind. The focus of your mind will determine how spiritual you are. Now let me just let that one sink in. To be carnally minded, you're just aware of physical things. But to be spirit minded, you're connected with your spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So the thing that determines how spiritual you are and how fluent you operate in spiritual things is what you choose to focus your mind on. I'm going to say that again. The thing that determines your ability to see at a better level and hear at a better level, of course, your spirit needs to be strong too. I'm just looking at one aspect of it tonight. What you're focusing your mind on, what you choose to focus your mind on, what you do with your mind determines if you're flesh-minded or spirit-minded. Flesh-minded or spirit-minded. If you're walking by faith or walking by what you see, fight the good fight of faith. Go with what you're seeing on the inside. The born of God answers. Sometimes I wonder right now, you know, your spirit will enlighten you. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. And a man of understanding will understand, if I need an answer from God, I need to look this way. I need to look in. I need to go in to my heart, to my spirit, and draw up the answer from God. There's wisdom there. There's answers there. There's counsel there. The teacher's there. But you need to draw it up. Thank you, Lord. We're skipping. So how did you know to go to Samoa? How did you know? How did you know you're going to be a missionary? How did you know to come back after your first husband died? How did you know to get the ship here? How did you know to start a church? How did you know? How did you know? Well, the same way Moses knew how to hold his rod out, the same way Joshua knew how to walk around Jericho, the same way David knew how to chase after them, the same way Jesus knew there would be a man with a pitcher of water, the same way he knew to spit and make mud, the same way he knew to find the man at the pool of Bethesda, the same way he perceived what people were thinking when he said, man, your sins are forgiven. The same way Paul knew the impotent man had faith to be healed. The same way Peter knew to go with the three men. The same way Philip knew to go towards the desert road, towards the south. The same way he knew to join himself to the chariot. The same way they knew, their minds were focused on the Spirit of God on the inside of them. And they drew it up. They draw up the counsel of God. How did you know to come back to Samoa? I drew that up from my spirit on the inside. It was in there. How much is in there that we haven't tapped into yet? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on up, praise and worship team. I think that's enough for tonight. So, let's just review a little bit. This is the victory that overcomes the world. What is? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. What do you mean born of God? What's something that's born of God? Well, God thought it up. God spoke it to you. It's a born of God answer, not a born of your mind answer. Not a born of men answer, but you being able to tap into your spirit. Hear him when he speaks to you. Get counsel. Get wisdom. You know why Solomon wrote that wisdom is more valuable than any other thing on this planet? It's worth more than rubies, gold, diamonds. Wisdom is the greatest treasure. He wasn't talking about intellectual wisdom that you would get at a university. He was talking about having the fullness of God on the inside as a resource for all your problems, predetermined wins, all your answers, all the answers that will get you up back on top, winning. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in what we're hearing God tell us on the inside. We have access by one Spirit to the Lord. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not by power, not by physical power, not by might, not by intellectual smartness, but by my Spirit. What does that mean? By my Spirit telling you how to win, you being able to hear, you being able to believe and act on that. And then the Lord, he always leads us in triumph. Why don't we stand up tonight? I want to do a quick exercise before we leave. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord, deeper and deeper, and higher and higher. And I want to walk with you longer and longer. Stronger and stronger. Could you do me a favor before you leave tonight? I know you might all hear this in a different way, but can you look inside? Can you look inside your heart right now? Do you know how to do that? Just by me saying, look inside. Close your eyes. Look inside. Become aware of your spirit on the inside. If you need to pray quietly in other tongues, that'll help you locate your spirit on the inside. Everybody, look inside. Connect to the inside. You're doing that with your mind, aren't you? Everybody connected? Looking inside? Now here's the thing. Never disconnect. I know we do this. We'll connect and then we'll disconnect. We'll connect and we'll disconnect. But here's the thing about Jesus, about Peter, about Paul, about Moses. Once they looked inside, once they connected to their inside man, because they know that's where God's going to talk to me. I'm never going to miss a message. I'm never going to be away. I'm never going to be out of this office. Here's the spiritual challenge for all of you. You're looking inside right now? It's a discipline, isn't it? It's something that you consciously, you have to do because you like to connect to the... Y'all connected to the inside? Okay, from this point forward, for the rest of your earth life, do not disconnect from the inside, your spirit. Yet, you'll still be able to function physically. But just make this small adjustment. Everybody know what I mean? It's not creepy. Everybody just look inside. Now stay there. Don't disconnect when you walk out the door. Don't disconnect when you go down the stairs. Don't disconnect when you go for the coffee. Don't disconnect when you get in your car. Don't disconnect when you go to bed tonight. Don't disconnect while you're sleeping. Don't disconnect when you get up in the morning. Abide in the vine. Keep looking there. It's life and peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that what we're talking about, that you would speak to people right now in their hearts, as they look inside, keep looking inside. Some of you might say, it's hard. No, just keep looking inside. This is what you were born to do. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them right now. Fill them with your presence. Make them aware that you're always there. And that you have the answers for everything they're going through right now. Everything they'll ever need in the future. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe your eyes are opening. You're being enlightened that, okay, God is real. I want to tell you the greatest story, that God sent his son Jesus to die for you, to die for your sins, so that you could be reconnected to God at this level. You'd be born again in your spirit. You'd come alive. God would make his home on the inside of you, and he'd walk with you and talk with you. See, the kingdom of heaven is inside of you. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Father, I accept Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for paying the price for my sins. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I will look to you forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord, deeper and deeper, and higher and higher. And I want to walk with you longer and longer. stronger and stronger. If you're here tonight and you have a chronic issue with your back, the Lord would like to heal you. Is there anyone here tonight? Chronic issue. And you might not want to come up. Anyone here tonight, you've got a chronic issue in your back? You can come up or you can just lift your hand where you are. God can heal you right where you are. You get ready to receive right where you are. We'll speak the words in the name of Jesus. Mend. Be made well. Be strong. Every muscle, every vertebrae, all the discs, all the nerves, in Jesus' name. Mend. Thank you, Father. Body, you change now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Do you believe it? All right. Thank you, Lord. Also, people suffering with loss of hearing. Loss of hearing. If that's you, just raise your hand up in the audience. Loss of hearing. Maybe you can't hear as well in one ear. Anyone? All right, I see that hand. I see another hand. Father, you created the human body, and you can fix it. Doesn't matter how old we are. Your word says the body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. So right now, in Jesus' name, we speak to those ears, eardrums, all the parts necessary to receive and interpret the vibrations of sound. Be well. Function perfectly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power that's here in this place. Thank you, Lord. The Lord told me today that there's a lot of marriages that are hurting in Samoa. And it's not his will. It's not his will for you to have hell on earth in your marriage. And he said to tell you that, you know what? Sometimes people just don't know how to act. But he'll teach you how to be a good spouse. And I encourage you to come to Rhema too. If you really, you don't know what to do, you've tried everything. The testimony of so many people that come out of Rhema is this. Before I went to Rhema, my family life, my marriage, the way the children interacted, my family life was a living hell. This is a direct quote. But after I came to Rhema and I learned the principles in God's word and what he wants. This is a grown man about 65 years old crying in the parking lot. He said, thank you so much for coming back after Brother Dunnick died. We need this word. We need this teaching. Maybe you've got a good marriage. Praise God. But there's a lot of marriages that are hurting. Don't give up on your marriage. God will help you with it. Father, I pray that you heal people's hearts, that you give them the grace and the strength to forgive each other and to start again and to step forward. Thank you, Lord, for a spirit that is teachable. Thank you, Lord, for humility. Cause that to be the flavor in our marriages, Lord. And heal us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Does anyone have something up here? Jenny, do you have something? All right. Anybody else? All right, guys. Well, I believe we're finished. I'm going to hand the service over to Pastor Jenny. She's got just a few announcements, and then they're going to sing a closing song, and you can be dismissed. But God bless you. We'll see you here. I got only about 25% through this sermon, so come back next week if you can. God bless you all.